I was going for a haircut, walking through the streets of Cork in very blustery weather. Today, Friday, the 21st of March, when my iPhone crashed. It's not the iPhone's fault. I have dropped it innumerable times. But basically, the battery died on me. And the audio, which I had recorded about 8 minutes of, is lost in the ether. Because it wasn't automatically saved when the iPhone crashed. Would, of course, that would be a functionality. But let me go back to the main point, which is about the barbers. I mean, why would I be getting my hair cut on this Friday? I have loads of other things I could be doing. And the short answer is, I've got to get my hair cut, or I decided I'd get my hair cut, because I'm going to a ball. I'm going to the ball tomorrow night in Cork, the Marketing Institute of Ireland, Munster branch. I've got a big bash in a big hotel, and it's the big event of the year. And I'm going, and I'm like Cinderella, I have really not been invited in my own right. Neither have I bought a table, sponsored a table, and gone down the road of inviting, you know, 9, 10, 11 other people to sit around the table, courtesy of Change Agents Branding. I haven't done any of that. No. I'm the kind of kept man who's partner to somebody who was invited. And so I suppose some might say that I was duty-bound to put in a good appearance at the ball, not to sort of go with the old hair grown to the length it was. So I decided, well, haircut is the name of the game, and I've been actually striving all week to get to the hairdressers. But I've had a very particular hairdresser's this time, one I have never been to before, and that's what this audio is going to be about. So if you have no interest in hair and getting your hair cut, and if you have no interest in barbers, and you have no interest in Morocco, no interest in Casablanca, no interest in a most fabulously branded establishment as a barber that I've ever been to, and no interest in the most extraordinary experience while you're having your hair cut, well then stop listening now. Really, stop listening. There's no point, because this is going to be a very exotic audio boo, because the experience was very exotic. And I don't honestly believe that on this blustery day here, as I'm walking away from the barbers, having had my hair cut, I don't believe I can do justice to it, but I'm going to have a damn good shot. Now, the backstory is, I've been walking through one of the main, the number one shopping street for me in Cork is Oliver Plunkett Street. It's on the island that is in the centre of Cork. Cork is like Paris. It has an island in the middle of a river, and you have a whole lot of squiggly, crossy streets in it. And one of them is called Oliver Plunkett Street. It's a big, long street, straight. But on it is a barber, which I had never noticed until recently, and the barber is called Casablanca. And as you look in the window, you actually think that you're right back there with Humphrey Bogart and, was it Lauren Bacall? It wasn't Lauren Bacall, it was that other woman who was also, God, I forget. I even forgot a few minutes ago. But anyway, never mind. It was Casablanca in there. It was like Bits from the Souk. Looking in the window, you can see old phonograms, you can see all sorts of things back from the era of that film, that time, and everything. It is a thoroughly, okay, forgive the word, thoroughly branded place, but basically when you look in, you feel that you're going to go back in time when you go inside. And the owner of it I met recently on the street, because he'd finished work. And he was resplendent, dressed as the Moroccan, in the style of somebody who came out of the film, really. Not in the long robes that a sheik from somebody from Saudi Arabia might wear. But no, in the stylishness of the Moroccan, very different type of Arabic influence than the Saudi Arabian one. That's another story altogether. But anyway, back to the point here is that I look in the window at this place several times. I even went in there last week. There were too many people sitting in chairs, and I thought, sod this, I don't like sitting around. I'll go back later. And then I got distracted and I came back too late. But I did promise the owner that I'd come back. So today I came back. And today I went into this remarkable shop. And the experience began straight away. Because everywhere I looked, there was signs and examples of stuff that you couldn't get anywhere else except in a place that was from Morocco. And in particular, actually, the guy, the owner, lives and was grew up 12 miles from Casablanca. So we're talking about real authenticity here. And if I tell you that there was a television on in the corner playing the, well, yeah, a monitor on the corner playing the film Casablanca. So all the way through my haircut, I was able to look out to the right-hand side and see the black and white film of Casablanca going on. So basically, I can go back and, you know, provided I time it right, I can see the whole film during a year while I'm having my hair cut if I want to. And that wasn't the half of it, you know. If I could really describe it to you fully, I'd keep you here for a week. But, you know, if I tell you that, for example, yes, there was Arabic music, Moroccan Arab music playing in the background, very, very likely, no big deal. In front of me, there was a handmade mirror that, you know, is made in Morocco. And incidentally, I found out that, in fact, the owner could actually get me one. You know, he could actually get me one from Morocco if I wanted one. And my goodness, if I wanted to fit out a room with in the style that is almost reminiscent of the Alhambra. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the Alhambra. I have not been to the Alhambra, but I have seen innumerable photographs of the Alhambra and the beautiful Arabic art that the Alhambra is, and everything to do with it. That whole period of history where, and I ended up discussing this. I ended up discussing two things with the barber. One, and we just touched on briefly, which was that incredible flourishing of civilization in Spain. Cordoba, Sevilla, you name it. Almost all of Spain. Between whatever it was, about the year, 600 and something like that. Right up to 1400 until 1492, until Ferdinand and Isabella, you know, kind of butchered them all, got around to... Anyway, we won't go into what Ferdinand and Isabella did. A nasty pair, actually. But anyway, that's another story. The point about this is that, but that incredible flourishing of civilization that linked Spain all the way through to Baghdad and all of the various places you go through, including Cairo on the way there. We had a little chat about that. But we also talked about pirates. We talked about pirates in West Cork, because I said to him, why did you come to Ireland? And he had some extraordinary reasons for coming to Ireland, this owner. Yusuf is his name. Reminded me of Yusuf Latif, who's a wonderful jazz... is he a clarinetist? Somebody will tell me. I forget. I saw him in Ronnie Scott's Donkeys years ago. Yusuf Latif. But anyway, Yusuf, that's how I remember his name. But he basically told me that he came to Ireland for the weather. I mean, the man is crazy. He came to Ireland for the weather, right? He also came to Ireland because of the English, and he wanted to learn English. And he didn't come to Ireland for a woman, which is the unusual thing, because loads of people I've discovered, you know, from other countries, you know, you say to them, well, why did you come to Ireland? And it turns out they came for a woman or a man or a relationship or something like that. No, the guy came for that. And I don't know enough of the backstory, and I'll be going back there to have my hair cut many times. I might be going back at the moment. I feel like I'm going back next week to have, you know, my hair done again. But, you know, and I certainly feel that at the Marketing Institute ball tomorrow night, there'll be people saying, you know, who did your hair, Paul? And I'll be saying to myself, maybe not even to them, but perhaps to them, oh, the Moroccan did it, right? And, but you see, it's until you actually get into the place, that's where the experience begins. I can do my best, of course, because you can't go there. But the point about this is that everywhere you look, the lights, the equipment, everything there, including a whole range of old stuff from Coco Chanel about how you straighten hair with tongs and stuff like that. Unbelievable. And then the pièce de résistance. The pièce de résistance. And McColgan will love this, because I'm finished the haircut. I've had my stuff. I'm sort of faffing around, being incredibly enthusiastic about the experience. I've taken photographs, by the way. Got a whole load of them. And the man lifts a palm, one of these kind of small palms, you'd call it, in a pot, a lovely piece of greenery stuff, lifts it off the top of a, I got to call it a gizmo, a piece of furniture, basically. And he opens up the piece of furniture. It's an old phonograph. Inside, his master's voice, an old 78, turntable, put the needle down carefully, and then the great, great surprise. What comes wafting out of this old piece of furniture, exotic piece of furniture, but the voice of the greatest Irish tenor of all time, singing that song, which I guess nobody could mistake as being an Irish song, Oh Danny Boy. And Oh Danny Boy, sung by John McCormack, is an experience that has to be had. You know, it's one of those historic sounds. McCormack's voice is remarkably different from anybody else. You won't hear the like of it again. And the point about it is that, but the point about it is this, to have this played to me by a Moroccan man obviously I'm a man from Morocco, but down the road from Casablanca, have it played to me in Cork on a blustery wet day. I mean, what is that like as an experience, you know? And then to finish the story, if you like, off, or to come to some kind of a conclusion, I said to him, and while the thing was playing, I whipped out the iPhone, which was actually already in my hand, I have to admit, and I started videoing the piece of furniture and the record going round, and I went right into it, and I pulled back out, and of course I was capturing the sound. And we get to the end of it when I decide, well, actually I decided I better stop doing the video, otherwise the video would be too long. And I turned to him and said, well, I said, there's one for YouTube. And then he said something to me that I'll have to elaborate at some stage in detail, because it was very remarkable. A business owner actually said to me, no, please don't put it on YouTube. And I thought, my gut reaction was, oh God, that's a bit of a pity, because if it goes on YouTube, it might attract people to your business. And I thought to myself, why? This is such an impressive man. I mean, I could learn about branding from him. He had done it so well, I mean, so brilliantly. But he said, no, he said. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said, because this is a man whose English is not as strong as mine. And I have to tell you, my Arabic is not as strong as his. So basically, I say to him, why? And he says, the essence is, and why would you not want to have a piece of video about your small business, the only one you have, I think, in the centre of Cork? Why wouldn't you want that to be on YouTube? Wouldn't it bring you customers, etc., etc.? That's what everybody else would do. But no, he said. He said, I want people to have the experience directly, firsthand, sensually. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said, right? So just allow me to put into words what he said in the, you know, and I am, you know, a bit of an expert on how to use words. But, you know, I have to say that, you know, he summarized for me the greatest reason ever not to put your stuff on YouTube. It is, you make yourself stand out. You create scarcity. The only way you can get to, you know what Casablanca barbers are like is to actually go and sit in the chair, be in the room, and have him lift the palm pot and play the music for you. Not me, reveal it for you. So I said to him, I said, all right, okay. I said, we didn't have a long discussion about this, you know, and there were other people waiting to have their hair cut, and you know me, I could go on for forever with somebody about, because the thing was so bloody interesting, and I haven't told you anything about the pirates in West Cork who came from Morocco and who, you know, took people back from, that's another story, that'll just have to wait for another time, because otherwise you'll have too much to be going on with. But so back to the key point is really that this is a phenomenal experience. This is, I am authorized by him to send the video that I have shot privately by email to very special people in the world who I think would appreciate it. I'm not authorized to put it up on YouTube, and I will respect that. I was not in a public place. I was in a private place. He owns the right to everything. Well, he owns the right to prevent me putting things up. He wasn't standing on his rights to prevent public distribution of photographs taken in a private space. No, he wasn't standing on that at all. This is a... Well, you can tell my... Have you heard me be so enthusiastic about a haircut before? No, right? Is it because I'm going to the Marketing Institute ball and I'm going to be mixing with all the marketing bigwigs in Cork? Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with that. I'm utterly thrilled. I wouldn't care if I was going to the local GAA AGM, the most boring old meeting of the year, or the golf club AGM, which would probably be even more boring. No. I am raving about the experience of having gone into a small business in the center of a small city in a small island called Ireland, and found a perfectly designed, because it was everything that was in front of me and around me was curated by an artist who arranged everything. He picked the paintings to have on the wall. He picked the posters. He assembled all of the things and put them on display. He created the experience very deliberately. This was no, you know, man who threw it all together and decided, oh, that'll do. No, this was a... I was in the presence of a, dare I say it, master of his craft. And the haircut was good too. So there we are. That's it. You know, it is worth coming to Cork for the barber's experience. And I'm using the hashtag Casablanca Barber Cork for everything I have to say about this. And it is, of course, to do with the barbers and all that. But it's more than that. For me, in my professional capacity, it has to do with having learned, having experienced an example that is as close to cutting edge, you know, leading example, exemplar, as I have come across. So anyone who is kitting out a store, a shop, a restaurant, whatever you want to call it, come to Cork, go in Casablanca, and then see what happens when people leave Casablanca. There's as sure as L is L. They certainly tell other people about it, you know, because you definitely don't go and have an extra sensory experience as I have had, and keep it to yourself. And that's, after all, what word of mouth marketing is all about. Where are you having your next haircut? Have a look around. See how interesting it is. See whether the whole thing is about the hair, or is it about something much, much bigger than the hair? Is it about something that is almost feels life-changing and certainly incredibly loved? Yeah, our hair is our most precious possession. Why shouldn't we experience a real wow when we're having somebody look after it? Forgive me, all you bald people who don't have hair, you know, but you know what I mean. In fact, it was a bald man in Cape Town who told me, Paul, go and get your hair done in a remarkable way in preparation for the Marketing Institute. He said, you know, honor your hair, honor your father and your mother, honor your hair and your something else. All the best. Bye-bye.